I know we're a few days late with this, but Ramadan Mubarak. We are in the Muslim holy month of Ramadan right now. For many Muslims, that means fasting every day between sunrise and sunset. As you can imagine, that isn't always easy. Now put yourself in this woman's shoes.
I've felt marginalized being Muslim, but then having an eating disorder on top of that just adds to kind of the struggles of being a woman. And when you combine those two, it can feel really overpowering some days.
That's Adeline Hossein. She lives in the Chicago area. Hossein wrote about her struggles having an eating disorder during Ramadan for Teen Vogue. She told us that she used to look forward to Ramadan because she saw it as an opportunity to hide her illness.
Even being 10 years old, I understood that it was a time when everyone would be abstaining from food and from water. And I saw an opportunity to mask my eating disorder and hide a little bit the things that I was struggling with at the time.
And tell me your story. Where did you grow up, and were you feeling any kind of cultural pressure around you to kind of adhere to certain standards of beauty or size?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Algeria, and my family and I actually came here under asylum. So we were refugees when we moved. And then once we got to the United States, we moved around pretty frequently, but it was always within like very small suburban towns. So I definitely felt very out of place. And the way that I looked wasn't necessarily what people around me looked like or considered to be beautiful. So I think that that initially kind of caught my attention and kind of started this like interior stress within myself and these insecurities and anxieties that ultimately ended up fostering themselves and developing later on into an eating disorder.
And when that time came, when you started suffering from this disorder, were you hiding it from your family and friends?
I definitely was trying to. I think I was probably 7 or 8 the first time I fainted. And then the time I kind of tried to pass it off as though, you know, I'd just forgotten to eat. You know, I was young. I wasn't paying attention. I was really ashamed of it. It's not something that we talk about as a Muslim community or within my household even today. So I definitely did try to cover up those parts of me as much as I could.
Is it something that you think a lot of Muslim women have struggled with? Are you rare? Are you an exception?
I don't think I'm rare or an exception. Now being so much older, I've talked to a lot of Muslim women and specifically friends of mine about it. And every time, you know, when I was thinking of writing this article, in fact, I spoke to a few friends and I said, you know, I have this idea that I've had for a really long time. And they just kind of were like, yeah, that's an issue.
Wow.
Like they knew that it was an issue, that it's a topic that actually like affects many of us, yet none of us were actually talking about it.
When did your family actually discover that you had this illness?
I was frequently fainting, frequently being taken out of school and being put in the nurse's office. And, you know, my parents would kind of ask and say, like, are you okay? Or they would make comments and say, like, oh, you're very thin or like you've lost a lot of weight. So I feel like they did see it happening, but I don't know that they even recognized that it could be an illness. I remember when the piece came out, I sent my mom the story very nervously and she read it and she was like, you know, that was really great. It was terrifying because I also struggled with an eating disorder growing up, but I didn't know that it had a name. So I think that was definitely a huge factor in my parents maybe acknowledging the signs that were there, but not really understanding what those signs meant or what steps they could take as parents to try to fix them.
That's kind of amazing. How surprised were you that your mom then opened up after you wrote this story?
It was incredible. If nothing else, I'm glad I wrote it for that because that was so important to me to realize that not only was she not, you know, embarrassed or ashamed or disappointed in me for struggling with this issue and then being so public about it, but she also had a very similar experience to me. And I think that that made me feel a lot closer to her.
So Adeline, how did you recover?
I think it's an ongoing battle. It's gotten better throughout the years just through adulthood. And I think a lot of that has to do with focusing on the parts of me that are good and the parts of me that bring me peace. And also having so much more representation now that I don't have to feel like I'm an outlier at all. But I don't think that it's necessarily something that will ever fully go away. I think that there are going to be good days and bad days. And just understanding that I kind of have to take every single day as it comes so that I don't completely overwhelm myself with it.
When you talk about the struggles you have on certain days, are you talking about the possibility of maybe sliding back into the illness?
Yeah, definitely. And I think for me, that's a huge reason why I've chosen not to participate in Ramadan, understanding that it is possible to really trigger myself and to put myself back into a relapse by doing so. So when people would ask why I wasn't fasting, I kind of felt this guilt and this shame. But now I can practice well and observe Ramadan by focusing on being more introspective and on being a better person and on working on myself internally rather than focusing on the fasting portion. So I think there are ways for me to continue to be a Muslim without necessarily putting myself in that specific type of a danger, you know?
Adeline Hossein, thanks very much for being with us. Great to talk with you.
Thank you for having me.
That story comes from our Across Women's Lives desk. You can find more stories like that on the Across Women's Lives Facebook page.